22 minutes to 8 o'clock, and I mentioned that we would be looking at your affairs through the very capable eyes of a professional from PSG Wealth and Insure. Grant Clinton is in the house. Lovely to see you again, Grant.
Good morning.
Welcome to the morning show. Let's get your microphone towards you so that we can hear you. That's fantastic. Now, this is the 13th PSG Wealth discussion that we'll be having. And Grant Clinton is a chartered accountant and a member of the Fiduciary Institute of South Africa. And he's a specialist in matters fiduciary at PSG Wealth in Belito. Today, we're going to have a general discussion around the fiduciary space in South Africa. Fiduciary is a big word, but don't worry. What's happening on the ground, and what to look out for, practical examples and some important things to know. So, Grant, let's get into it. What is happening at the office of the Master of the High Court in South Africa?
That's a good question. And to be honest, things aren't looking particularly rosy.
Right.
In fact, the Cape Town office has closed for 4 months.
Wow.
They have got a backlog of 3,000 files. And literally, they said no more new files to be submitted.
Does this mean if someone has passed on and you need to settle their will, they are not going to be looking at the matter for four months? Oh no!
Correct.
Wow. What does one do?
Basically, wait.
Oh my word! So, I mean, the tragedy is you think that you've taken all the necessary precautions to get your will in order, and then, unfortunately, you can't be processed because of an admin backlog.
Yeah, well, the good news is Durban and Pietermaritzburg Masters offices are probably two of the three best in the country. So we're okay for
wow.
now.
Wow, well, that's a bit of a relief, but not. Yeah, it doesn't augur well for the future. Gee.
Yeah, there are other delays, partly SARS. We've got another problem in that the Estate Duty Department has asked for a 90-business-day turnaround. So if you have an estate that involves estate duty, you're waiting literally 4 months to get an estate duty assessment out of SARS.
Wow, and I was going to ask you why and how would SARS be involved in winding up a person's affairs and their estate?
Yeah, you know, in fact, they've been actively involved in changing the way estates are taxed, partly looking at the numbers involved. So they've increased estate duty from 20% to 25% for estates in excess of 30 million. And they've also introduced a new tax return called the post-death tax return, whereby you literally have a second tax number for an individual. And it was found that beneficiaries weren't declaring the income that was earned post-death prior to distribution of the estate. So now what they've done is they've taken that income and they've taxed it under the estate itself on a second tax return called a post-death tax return.
Ay, 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 ay. Now, I mean, clearly there must be ways of ameliorating the situation without falling into these. Well, they are now statutory obligations, but I would suggest, well, maybe you can give us some questions you would ask listeners around the subject of wills and death as a financial health checklist.
I think that's a good setup. I mean, firstly, the obvious one, do you have a valid will? If yes, then when did you last review it? It's well and good to have a valid will, but if it's 10 years out of date, which we often find, it doesn't really help the situation.
But if nothing's changed in that period of time, would it still
be worth reviewing every year, regardless of whether it's changed. There are certain things that change all the time, for example, legislation and the way things are administered and the way things are done. So it's definitely worth checking, especially when there's a new event in the family, like, for example, a new baby or a deceased family member, beneficiaries no longer valid in terms of they've passed on. It's worth looking at every couple of years.
I'm just mortified by the fact that you think that you've got money coming in because, you know, you've got the will is there and it's quite clear, and it can be held up for months because of of administration at government level.
Unfortunately, yes.
It sounds iniquitous to me. What do people do under that? Anyway, let's carry on. You no doubt have even more to unpack in that regard.
Yes, well, the one thing that guys often overlook is getting your tax affairs up to date. Partly because, when I wind up estates, I find this often, that the tax affairs are woefully out of date. Partly because often the individual has been sick and not in a position to submit the returns. But what we ask and we advise, keep a tax file. Keep all that documentation because we don't know what deductions are valid in terms of there could be expenditure that you've incurred, but there's no supporting documentation unless you have a tax file. And then finally, loans. You need to keep a written record of loans payable and put them in what we call an important documents file, because unless others know about those loans, they can be overlooked.
Are these loans that you have made to other people or
Correct.
That you have taken?
Both. Oh. But more importantly, loans you've made to others.
Oh, gosh. Now, okay, so that's not, if you've got a will and you've taken into consideration everything that Grant has been talking about, good for you, jolly nice. But what happens if you don't have a will?
Well, with dying without a will, you die intestate. And thankfully, our South African government many years ago introduced what we call the Intestate Succession Act, Laws of Intestate Succession. Basically, they set rules. And those rules are how an estate is distributed. But that isn't always a good thing. For example, if the husband dies leaving a wife and two minor children, the wife lands up with a third share of that estate, and the two minor children get a third share each. Now, because there's no will and there's no provision for trusts, two-thirds of the estate lands up in the guardian's fund, and the wife inherits one-third.
So is... That sounds terrible. I mean, who administers the Guardian's Fund?
The Guardian's Fund is a government fund.
Oh, my. And we know how efficient that... Oh, no.
Well, to be honest, there were a few problems. They've uncovered those. They've arrested the people that managed to steal a few hundred million out of there many years ago, and they watch it far more intensely now. But you don't want to be part of that. Rather get yourself a valid will, provide for minor trusts for minor beneficiaries, and just do things properly. And it's very simple. It doesn't take hours.
And you say it's necessary to include a clause to ensure that minor beneficiaries are not to inherit directly in a will. Why? Well, I presume it's obvious.
Well, to keep from a minor age. So they shouldn't inherit before age 18. But a lot of people also insist that they... maybe 25, because as we know, young teenagers inheriting large volumes of large quantities of money might not be able to handle it particularly well. That's another issue.
Wow. So why should the nominated executor be exempt from the filing of security with the master in the case of a will?
That's a good one, because what's happened is that if you're not exempt, it involves costs to the estate. So, for example, I've got an estate coming out of England. Gentleman lived in Belito, and his assets are relatively small. And I'm going to use numbers so you can get the idea of cost. 2.8 million is the value of the estate. The master insists that I file security for that 2.8 million in assets. Not everyone is prepared to grant that security. It's like a bank or a finance institution that does that. So they guarantee the 2.8 million as if there's a default in terms of the executor. And the cost of that is 12,800 rand annually.
Wow. So wow.
Yes. So if the estate takes longer than a year to wind up, we used to be about 6 months for a complete estate administration process. We moved out to 9 months. And we're slowly tipping the scales on the bigger estates now beyond a year because of these tax issues and the master's delays.
I just, you know, my mind goes into a spin of panic here because if there is financial stress now because of the delay. How does one get, how does the family that has clearly stands to inherit a decent amount of money to keep the ship afloat, but there is a short-term cash flow deficit, what do you do?
You've hit the nail on the head, and that's why as part of our complete financial administration analysis process, when we draft the will, we also look at liquidity. And that's why life cover is such a fundamental. Because life cover, if the nominated beneficiaries don't form part of the estate, can be concluded and paid out within 7 days of the demise of the individual. And it's very neat, very clean. And it gives the family the liquidity required to get on with life.
And life cover, well, this is insurance, essentially.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But there must be certain terms and conditions attached to that as well, I would imagine.
Not particularly complex. You know, it all depends on...
If someone dies under what would be termed unnatural circumstances, you know, if you have a disease, you go to hospital, you're treated for it, you pass on, that's kind of natural. But if you are involved in an accident of some kind, or heaven forbid, fall over something, and
yes,
then there is. Does the insurance company not say, "Ooh, maybe this was an attempt at self harm"?
Yes. They do wait for a police report, and that's where we, as fiduciary specialists, also get involved. Literally, chivvy up the investigating officers to get the case concluded.
So that's why it pays to have the professionals in your court or on your side.
One of the reasons. Yes.
Well, I would imagine it's a very important one because, you know, trying to deal with authority of any description in this country as an individual, it's almost impossible. But having the name PSG Wealth and Insure behind you, I would imagine you have a lot more success.
Yeah. We do. We do. Certainly, yes.
So that's one example of clearly what could go wrong, but there must be more.
Look, there are. And each case is unique. So you can't almost have a prescription laid out in terms of how to deal with things. You literally have to evaluate what you're facing in the situation and make decisions. And again, that's where experience comes in. I think I'm on my 117th estate administration process at the moment.
Wow.
And we've sold ships, we've sold livestock, we've sold grains, all sorts, millions of rands worth of grains to some of the big breweries.
As part of wrapping up an estate?
Correct, yes.
My word. So anyone listening to this thinking, you know what, I don't need anyone. I can do it myself. I'm not a monkey. I know how to handle my affairs or affairs of other people. I'm going to do it on my own without incurring any costs. Da-da-da-da-da-da. There are problems associated with that, are there not?
Absolutely. So there's two reasons that that's not the best idea. The first reason is that the Master of the High Court, because he's so snowed under, is very reluctant to allow family members without any experience to be an executor.
Oh.
In that instance, they'll insist on what we call an agent. Basically, it's a person who understands the situation, same qualifications as an executor, but literally takes on the responsibility of administering that estate on behalf of the executor.
Wow.
But it doesn't absolve them of any responsibility. So, for example, if the tax returns aren't submitted, and as I explained, that's a regular issue, the liability for that tax, if it's not paid, rests directly on the executor's head.
Mm.
So if you've wound up the estate and you haven't managed the tax, SARS comes after you as executor.
So it's quite an onerous undertaking. It's not to be undertaken lightly.
Yeah, and to start saving costs, it's not worth it at all in terms of the comebacks. People don't realize the legal liability you're attracting being the executor. It's not a great position to be in.
Not a good position to appoint. You know, sometimes you think, well, my son, he's very bright. He knows I'm going to make him executor. You could be giving him literally that sort of liability that's going to put him in a very difficult position.
Correct.
Very, very difficult indeed. And clearly, you don't. That's the last thing you want to burden your family with. They're already, no doubt, feeling the weight of the passing. And now with an additional administrative strain, don't do that. That's definitely not the gift of love. No.
Yes.
But the prudent thing to do is to talk to the experts. And Grant Clinton, from PSG Wealth. He is an expert, and I would strongly suggest that you give him a shout and discuss your affairs. Where can you be contacted, Grant?
Well, we contact us on our phone number 0860-88-8810 or pop into Simbidi Office Park. Come have a coffee with us.
You see how approachable this man is. It's you can talk to. Sometimes it's like talking to a robot, talking financial stuff with some people. I mean, it is. It's a fact. But Grant has very often proven to be more than personable and extremely efficient constantly, and that's why we rate him very highly. You'll find at PSG Wealth and Insure in Bolito Connect, because we select the best of the best for you. And this conversation, I think, has, if it's done only one thing, and that is to stimulate you to start thinking about your affairs and making sure that you are not one of those that says, if only I had. You have been in conversation with Grant Clinton from PSG Wealth, and this will be up as a podcast. So if you only just joined the conversation and you've missed out, don't worry. You can pop onto our website or our apps, look for The Morning Show. There'll be a photograph of Grant, and you'll be able to listen again to this interview. Grant, thanks so much for joining me on The Morning Show.
Thank you. It was good to be here.
And The Morning Show continues.